Tonight, we're not going to be there the entire sermon, but you can turn to Psalm 104. And while you're turning there, I'm going to read you a quote by C.H. Spurgeon. He said, "There is a marvelous medicinal power in joy. Most medicines are distasteful, but this, which is the best of all medicines, is sweet to the taste and comforting to the heart. This blessed joy is very contagious. One dolorous spirit brings a kind of plague into the house. One person who is wretched seems to stop all the birds from singing wherever he goes. But the grace of joy is contagious. Holy joy will oil the wheels of your life's machinery. Holy joy will strengthen you for your daily labor. Holy joy will beautify you and give you an influence over the lives of others." You know, God wants you to have joy. Do you believe that tonight? You might say, "Well, how do you know that? How would I know that God wants you to have joy?" Well, first of all, Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And I say, rejoice. If God commanded you to have joy, then obviously He wants you, if He commanded you to rejoice, then He wants you to have joy in your life. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, it says, "Rejoice evermore." God wants you to constantly be in a state of rejoicing. It's not just something He wants you to experience intermittently throughout your life, here and there. You know, when you're on the top of the hill, you have joy. But when you're in the bottom of the valley, there's no more joy. God wants you to constantly have joy. It's commanded. But also, it's a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy. And God wants you to be filled with the Spirit. An outflow of being filled with the Spirit is having joy in your life. How else do I know that God wants you to have joy? Well, it's also what someone experiences when they are in the presence of God. It says in Psalm 16 and verse 11, "In thy presence is fullness of joy." Does God want you to be in His presence? Well, yes, He does. In Psalm 73, it says, "It is good to draw near to the Lord." So I hope tonight that you realize that God does want you to have a life of joy. And tonight we're going to look at four keys to a joyful life. And the first one we're going to find here in Psalm 104 and verses 33 and 34. Psalm 104, 33 and 34, we're going to look at the first key to having a joyful life. It says, "I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad," and there's our word for joy there, "I will be glad in the Lord." The first key I see here is a properly focused mind. If you want a life, a joyful life, you must have a properly focused mind. What was the mind of the psalmist here focused on? Well, what does it say there in verse 34? He says, "My meditation of Him shall be sweet." When he thought on the Lord, they were pleasant thoughts. You know, some people have a hard time having joy when they think about the Lord because they think about the Lord incorrectly. They have a negative view of God. But when you have a right view of God and your mind is focused on Him, it's going to result in joy. About it. What does it say in Psalm 136, verse 1? You know, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." If you think back to maybe a relative you had that you really enjoyed being around, maybe somebody that was a really giving person, somebody that looked out for you, somebody that watched out for you, when you think about that person, does it just bring all these negative connotations and all these terrible thoughts into your mind? Well, no, it brings joyful thoughts. It brings pleasant thoughts to your mind. And when we think about God, He is the greatest person. He is the greatest, I shouldn't say person, but being that has ever lived, and it ought to bring the best thoughts to our mind. And if it doesn't bring good thoughts to our minds, then it means that we are thinking incorrectly about who he is. And the psalmist here says that my meditation of him shall be sweet. And if you look through Psalm 104, he's saying all these different things about God. And notice in verse 24, he says, O Lord, how manifold are thy works, and wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. And he's going throughout this psalm, really meditating upon God, focusing on his greatness in the earth. You know, as we step outside, you know, we had a few days of gloomy weather. And it might have been hard for you to step outside and really think about the goodness of God. You know, but if it's 2 months from now, we're going through a drought, you would just be loving to experience the rain that we just had the last couple of days. You know, it can be really easy for us to complain about the weather. But when we step outside and we see the beautiful creation that is all around us, it ought to remind us of the good God that we have. And we should be thinking about who God is. And obviously, there's much more to think about God, his goodness, his faithfulness, his truth. In a world in which there's so much upheaval, we can base our lives upon the never-changing truth of God's word. We don't have to be swayed by all the different things that are going around us. You know, the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, but we don't have to have that double mind. We can be singular focused on the truth of God's word. But we find a properly focused mind is the key. He says, my meditation of him shall be sweet. Then what does he say? There's a colon there. I will be glad in the Lord. What did it say there in Philippians 4? Rejoice in the Lord always. You know, what does your mind focus on? When you lose that joyfulness of spirit, what has your mind turned to? You know, when that happens in your life, you need to stop. And say, what am I meditating on? You know, why do people get bitter? Because they're meditating on the wrongs of others instead of meditating on the goodness, on the grace, on the kindness that God has shown to them. It requires a properly focused mind, requires that you think correctly about God, but then it results in praise to God. He says here in verse number 3, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Notice the psalmist's commitment to praise. You know, when we think correctly about God, when our mind is focused on him, what's it going to result in? Well, the outflow of that is going to be praise. There's going to be really nothing else that we can do but praise him for who he is. There's a song in his life. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. You know, we have this life. We have this opportunity. Obviously, we're going to be praising God in heaven. But we only have one life here, so to speak, on this earth. While we're surrounded with the temporal, that we have the opportunity to step out by faith and praise God no matter what situation in life we may be going through. So first of all, the key to faith is a properly focused mind. The psalmist said, my meditation of him shall be sweet, and the result of that, I will be glad in the Lord. Secondly, I'd like us to go to Galatians chapter 5, and these are familiar verses, and something I already alluded to earlier in the introduction. We find the second key here in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 and verse number 22. It says, Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, and the second fruit there is joy. You know, what's the key to a life that is filled with joy? Well, it's a life that's going to be filled with joy is a spirit-filled life. If you're going to have joy in your life, you can't be controlled by the flesh. If you just look at Galatians chapter 5 a little bit and you see some of the results of the flesh. You know, it says in verse 15, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Well, that doesn't sound like a very joyful life. Verse number 19, but the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, and notice hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, all right, seditions, heresies. That doesn't sound like a joyful life. You know, anytime the flesh gets in the way, joy is zapped from the situation. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. And anytime the Spirit loses control and our flesh gains control, the joy is robbed from the situation. Our own homes, you know, when there's arguing, when there's fighting, when there's irritation, what happens? The joy leaves. But when we submit ourselves, when our flesh is under the control of the Holy Spirit, then, you know, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You know, the flesh is the greatest enemy to joy in our Christian lives. But when we walk in the Spirit, when our lives, when we're Spirit-filled, there is going to be joy in our lives. And as you look at Ephesians chapter 5, where it says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And then what happens right after that? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. What does that sound like? Well, that sounds like somebody that has what? Joy. And what was the key to that? Well, it was being filled with the Spirit. And then verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, it's an outflow of being filled with the Spirit. That heart that is filled with a song, that heart that is filled with thankfulness. And really, you put those things together and what do you have? You have a life that is filled with joy. Why? Because it's controlled by the Spirit rather than by the flesh. And you think of that, you know, that little acrostic joy. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. Well, what's all that about? Well, it's about being filled with the Spirit. It's about setting your flesh aside. It's about setting your selfish desires aside and allowing the Lord's desires to have control in your life. And that's when real joy comes into our lives. You know, what does the devil say? If you want to have joy, you have to do this. You know, it was, where is joy found? Well, not in unbelief. Voltaire was an infidel of the most pronounced type. He wrote, I wish I had never been born. Not in pleasure. Lord Byron lived a life of pleasure, if anyone did. He wrote, the worm, the canker, and grief are mine alone. Not in money. Jay Gould, the American millionaire, had plenty of that. When dying, he said, I suppose I'm the most miserable man on earth. Not in position and fame. Lord Beaconsfield enjoyed more than his share of both. He wrote, youth is a mistake, manhood a struggle, old age a regret. Not in military glory, Alexander the Great conquered the known world in his day. Having done so, he wept in his tent because he said, there are no more worlds to conquer. You know, where is real joy found? Well, it's not found in all these different pursuits that the devil wants to try to think that we have to have, or these different things, or these different fleshly engagements. You know, why is entertainment, why are all these different things so pronounced in our days? Because people's flesh is saying that I have to have this in order to be happy. When all they need is the Spirit of God controlling their lives, which obviously is found as the Lord Jesus Christ becomes their Lord and Savior. Then the Spirit of God can come and dwell within their lives. But even as a believer, you know, are we Spirit-filled or are we flesh-filled? Controlled. And we'll get back to that point in a sense. It's a little bit under the next one. But the third key to having joy in our lives is found in Romans chapter 15. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 15. So first of all, the first key is a properly focused mind. The second key is a Spirit-filled life. And the third one we find in Romans chapter 15, verses 12 and 13. It says here, and again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles trust. And then I want you to just keep in mind that phrase, in him, that's in Christ, shall the Gentiles trust. And then he says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. But notice that there in verse 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in what? In believing. The third point, the third key is a heart that is founded on faith, a heart that's grounded in faith. If we're going to have a joyful life, we can't live by our feelings. We can't live by what we think we see is happening, but we must have a life that is grounded in faith. You know, how many people that are doubting their salvation have joy? Well, it's hard to have joy, isn't it? Because our lives aren't grounded in faith. There isn't that hope that comes with that assurance of salvation. And here it's a heart that is founded on faith that brings about joy. In verse 12, it talked about in him shall the Gentiles trust. When that takes place, the God of hope can fill us with all joy and peace in believing. And as we look at this, you know, it's not just something where we say, well, I'm just going to trust. I'm just going to have faith. Well, notice the key to having that faith. It says there at the end of the verse that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. You know, if we're going to have real joy in our lives, it's based on faith. But secondly, it's enabled by the Holy Spirit. You know, we can try all we want. We can have all the greatest intentions of having joy. You can go home tonight and say, I'm going to have joy. But you know what we need is the power of the Holy Spirit enabling that joy to take place in our lives. The story is told about two wives who were doing their laundry in a laundromat. They were both mending their husband's pants. One wife said, my husband is so miserable. Nothing goes right at work, and he can't find anything good on television. Our home is a place of despair. When we go to church, the song leader is terrible. Must attend Mequonago Baptist Church. And that's referring to tonight. And the pastor, well, wait, not the next phrase. I should have said that. When we go to church, the song leader is terrible and the pastor is an idiot. The other wife said, I maybe just remember the phrase about he can't find anything good on television. The other wife said, my husband is so excited. He can't wait to go to church. He loves the sermons. We laugh all the time and enjoy our family. Got very quiet in the laundry room as the woman continued sewing the pants. One was patching the seat of the pants and the other was patching the knees. You know, joy, it's not just going to come by sitting around doing what we want, but it's going to come through the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives as we step out in faith and trust God. I'd like us just to see a couple other passages or another passage on connected to this thought of the Holy Spirit and His power in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. First Thessalonians 1, verses 5 and 6 says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Then notice verse 6. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. Then notice that last phrase, with joy of the Holy Ghost. You know, it wasn't an easy time for the Thessalonian believers. It wasn't easy for them, so to speak, to get saved. But the Apostle Paul came to them in the power of the Holy Spirit, and they received the word And notice that, with joy of the Holy Ghost. You know, again, as we get back to being filled with the Spirit, and the result of being filled with the Spirit is what? Is joy. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's what naturally happens when the Holy Spirit is working in our lives. You know, as we get in God's Word, as the Word of Christ is dwelling in us richly, as the Holy Spirit begins to transform our lives, what's going to happen? There's going to be joy. You know, living for the flesh, living for ourselves does not result in joy. But it's the Holy Spirit's working in our lives that brings it about. But what do we do many times? Well, Ephesians 4 verse 30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. You know, and instead of pleasing God, we're grieving the Holy Spirit. We're grieving the very one that's going to enable us to have the joy that we so desperately want in our lives. And so we have to see how much the flesh is the enemy of joy. And part of the reason it's the enemy of joy is because it hinders the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives, who is the one that gives us the ability, the power to have joy, who gives us that ability to have the faith that we need to trust God. Let's go over to Luke chapter 24. And as you're turning there, you know, Romans chapter 15, where we were before, talks about, now the God of hope fill you with all joy. You know, God is a God of hope. In Hebrews chapter 6, it talks about which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. God wants us to have hope in life, and that's one of the reasons we can have joy, is because of the future expectation that every believer has. You know, we need to be people of hope. You know, it can be easy in life to, you know, put somebody down. And obviously, if somebody's doing wrong, they need to be corrected. But there needs to be hope, because God's a God of hope. He gives us a future expectation. And that's why we can have joy in our lives, because that future expectation that we are looking forward to. You know, if you're in the middle, if you're trying to fix your car and you're like, when is this ever going to end? And it just, nothing seems to be going right. Well, if you knew that in 5 minutes you were going to find the problem, it was all going to be fixed, all of that would be what? Would be easy to go through, wouldn't it? But if you can, you know, if you knew that you're going to have to spend another 3 weeks working on your car before you found the problem, it'd be much harder to go through. You know, hope, that future expectation of what's going to happen, is really, it helps fuel that joy in our lives. And we need to be people that build hope. In Luke chapter 24, as we get back to heart founded on faith, we'll try to point this out quickly, but Luke chapter 24 and begin in verse number 38. Here's Christ speaking to the disciples. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? You know, here's Christ appearing to his disciples after his resurrection. And they hadn't really believed yet. He says, verse 39, behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. Then notice this verse, 41. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? But notice that, while they yet believed not for joy. Christ was standing right there. They could have been jumping up and down, having great joy, excited that the resurrection was real. But they didn't have that joy yet. Why? Because they didn't have that faith yet. They hadn't believed that Christ had risen from the dead. It hadn't sunk in yet in their lives. You know, how many times are we robbed of joy in our lives because we don't believe what God has said? And here Christ is standing right in front of the disciples, and they still haven't believed yet for joy. You know, they maybe they didn't, were hoping, Well, it's too good to be true. Have you ever had that moment where you don't want to completely believe that something actually is taking place because it almost seems too good to be true? And you know, maybe that's what was happening with the disciples. But God wants us to have joy, and he wants us to believe him and to trust him. Now, if we go to the very last, or the second to the last verse in Luke chapter 24, notice what it says here. All right, let's actually start in verse number 15. He led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with what? With great joy. Now here Christ was gone. But yet what did they have? Great joy. Why? Because now they believed. Now they had faith. Now they recognized that the resurrection was true. And even though Christ was gone, they believed who Christ was. They recognized the power of his resurrection. And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And what was the result? And were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. And there we see the outflow of joy. When we have joy in our lives, there is... The result is praising God. I mean, I think people were happy to come back to church, weren't they? I mean, when I'm up here leading singing, either my ears got better or your singing got better. Because it seemed different. You know, and when people have joy, they have reason to sing. And, you know, that's how it should always be. I think my wife was telling that, you know, her dad was saying, my father-in-law was saying that, you know, one of the things that draws people to believers is their joy. You know, if we don't have joy in our lives, why would people want to have what we have? How important it is to have that joy of the Lord. Then just very quickly, let's go to Psalm 105. We'll just hit this last point. It says in Psalm 105, let's begin in verse number 2. It says, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. It says, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. So it talks here about seeking the Lord and joy coming. Then let's go to Psalm number 45. Well, there I wanted to point out, you know, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Then Psalm number 45 and verse number 7. It says, thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And the fourth point I'd like us to see, the fourth key to joy is a walk fashioned after righteousness. Now it said glory in his what? In his holy name. Here thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. In Romans chapter 14 and verse number 17, the word of God states, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. But notice what goes along with that peace and that joy. It's what? It's righteousness. And joy comes as our walk is fashioned after righteousness. And it really goes along with the point of being filled with the Spirit. You know, not giving in to the flesh and its ways. You know, do you want joy tonight? Do you recognize, you know, the power of joy? Well, joy is not found in our flesh, but it's found in a life that's filled with the Spirit. You know, he is the one that will enable us to have the joy, to have the faith that will empower us to have that joy that God wants every believer to have. Do you have that joy in your life tonight? Do you have it tonight, but it'll be gone tomorrow? Or is it something that is a constant characteristic of your life? You know, as I honestly look at my own life, I say, boy, I've got some work to do. But it's not just work I have to do. I need to what? Allow the Holy Spirit to work in my life and to see His power work through me so that joy can be there and so that we as believers can have that powerful influence for righteousness that only the joy of the Lord can bring in our lives. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray that You would help us to see that You want us to have joy. Lord, You don't want our lives to be miserable. Lord, we know the devil is the one that wants to destroy us. And yet so often it's so easy for us to get the wrong perspective in life. And Lord, I pray that we would be Christians that have joy, that are filled with the Spirit. And Lord, it's not a joy that's put on, but it's a joy that's a natural outflow of Your working in our lives. Lord, I pray that You would just empower each believer that is here tonight to have that joy that You want us to have. And Lord, I pray for one that may be here tonight that is unsaved, that they would put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight so that they can experience that joy that is only found in Him. We pray these things in Christ's name.